Okay, so Morris, what's the date of your birth and where were you born?
My date of birth is September 8, 1913. I was born in the Isle of Rhodes.
And your parents?
And at the time were the Italians in control of the island. In other words, so I was born under the Italian flag.
Mm-hmm.
And
your parents were who? Your parents?
My parents were Nassim Capuia, and my mother was Esther Russo Capuia. And I can also say that I had my grandparents also, Rafael Capuia, and my mother was Leah Capuia.
Uh-huh.
And
what synagogue did you go to?
We went to the Kielash Grandelas.
And at what age were you when you were going to the Kielash
Grandelas? I was something like about 8 or 9 years of age.
Uh-huh.
Before they still used to go there. And then eventually when I got to be of age to bar mitzvah, and so happened that my brother and I, Albert, my brother and I, both bar mitzvah. We went to, it was during the services before Rosh Hashanah, went to a home where they had services, and there too we were bar mitzvah, put on tefillin and so forth. And
so you're talking about your bar mitzvah, and in Rhodes it was different from the way we do it now.
Very much different, yes.
And so you're stating that you did the tefillin. Is that here? I think it's on Thursday.
On Thursday morning, yes. Or
so
either
you
Monday or Thursday you can put on tefillin.
Right.
Because that's when you take out the Sefer Torah.
Okay, so.
So why did
you go to this person's house for your bar mitzvah? And
because
who
they
was
were having
who
the
was there?
Holt.
Oh.
So during the time you're having the Sefer Holt.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, we knew it was an opportunity for us to be there during the Sefer Holt, and at the same time partake into the bar mitzvah, both my brother and I.
So you had a double bar mitzvah?
Double bar mitzvah, yes.
And how much older or younger is he than you?
My brother was 2 years older than I.
Uh-huh.
So it happened that he did not participate yet, because of one reason or another, but decided for both of us to do it at the same time, which we did.
And did you have to study or practice before
we
that?
Had to study before that. We had to study with the rabbi that we had, and also teacher, you understand. We went through the different services and be able to read properly and effectively and so forth. But we weren't able to read anything from the Torah, you see, but just from the regular daily and Sabbath books, you understand. That we have, we're all in Hebrew, by the way. See, there's no such thing as Hebrew and Italian or English, whatever. It all was read in Hebrew.
And who was your rabbi and teacher for the studies that you mentioned?
The rabbi actually was a great uncle of mine, Yaakov Capuia. That's he has a daughter was Sarina Russo in Atlanta. She's still living, by the way, and she's 99 years of age. So her father was the Chacham,
Chacham
Yaakov Capuia, and he was the one who trained us both for the occasion. Yes.
Wow. And you still?
It was a Hebrew teacher, but a Hebrew teacher did not do anything for us. But Chacham Yaakov was the one that really trained us to be able to read. Actually, we weren't what you call, real readers and stuff like that. We were able to read just like youngsters would read, naturally. But it's amazing, after coming over here, I made up my mind to try to perfect my Hebrew reading and all the other things and some of the Torah reading. Because we had Shimon Franco was not an ordained rabbi, but it's a Chacham. He was our Chacham here at Etzahaim for many, many years. And through his knowledge and expertise, I was able to improve my situation as far as the Hebrew is concerned, to a point where I began to chant during the Aha, the chant on Friday night service, chant on the Sabbath, and so forth. So it's like right now today, I do all the chanting for our synagogue.
So back to that bar mitzvah at the home where they had the Selichot services.
Services for Selichot.
Now, how many people were in the service?
There were quite a few, at least from about 20 of them.
20 men, not women.
No women, no women.
In Rhodes,
women... No, that's right. The women and the men sit separately.
Uh-huh.
So, in the synagogue, for instance. During services, we sit separately.
And so, in the home, where... Now, this is a home which is was used as a, like a... Where they had a Torah also then.
Well, they had a Torah. They brought a Torah from the synagogue.
Oh.
You see? Because of the situation of the bar mitzvah thing,
uh-huh.
So I decided to go ahead right after Selichot, and we had, you know what I mean, the Shachrit, which is a morning service.
Ah, so they took the Torah from?
From one of the synagogues to be able to use it.
Wow. And so after the service, did you have a huge party like they have nowadays, or what?
No party, no nothing, no. Of course, after the morning service, the lady of the house, you know, was able to give us, you know, a little drink and this and that, yeah, little cheese.
What did they serve after the...
They served some, like for instance, they served like white cheese and olive oil and olives and, you know, naturally some French bread and whatever.
So there was feta cheese and you had
olive oil.
And we used to have the bread they used to call... They had kalura, and they had other types of bread that my grandparents used to make.
They used to make that's right. You know, like they make even, Jeanette does it sometimes now, they make the bulema, which is round bread. Also, maybe sometimes they get it impregnated with ground up almonds or pecans and stuff like that to make it real. Like they like to serve for their weddings and stuff like that, you see.
Uh-huh. So they didn't have really French bread?
No.
There was like one of the traditional breads?
Traditional.
Or maybe they had biscoches or?
No biscoches. They had bulema. That's it. I remember that.
Okay. That's what they had.
That's right.
And that was different from just a normal morning service.
That's right, yes.
A normal morning service after the service, the people just go back home.
Go back to their work and home and so forth, yes.
So your party was...
That was the only party, that's it. They have no fancy parties like they have them today.
Uh-huh.
It's a total different situation altogether.
Now, Morris, what's...
Then, you know, we didn't have any bat mitzvahs in those years. It was just bar mitzvahs. Mm-hmm.
And, Morris, how about the school you went to? What school was
that? The school was the Alliance Israelite Universelle. We went there until 1925. Then in 1925, the governing Italian government, which was in Rhodes, decided to stop the French teaching and have Italian language teaching in the schools and Italian instructors. In other words, generally speaking, it was in Italian schools. Also, at one time, we were, after they got rid of the Alliance Israelite Universelle, we were able to go to a frat, you know, Catholic frat school, which was Italian, you see. Spent there for 1 year, that's all. And then, that's before my parents decided, you know, after contacting my Uncle Eli here in the United States, they would like my... sent me here for studies and so forth. Because there's no future, there was no future in the island anymore. Even my brother had left and went to Rhodesia. At that time, a cousin of ours, Edith Charhon, happened to be there in Rhodesia, and he was instrumental in getting them to come to Rhodesia and work out into the villages and stuff like that.
Okay, now, I'm going to go back to Rhodes a bit.
Yes.
Just for your background in history. Now you were born in Rhodes. You were living in which part of the old city? Were you, was it
near? We're not sitting, we were never lived. I remember in the Judea.
Where did you live?
We live outside of, in other words, because if I can tell you what happened, you know where the government building is on the Mandrake?
Sure.
Two blocks up uh-huh. north of that. Uh-huh. We lived outside of the Judea. Uh-huh. All as far as I can remember, since I was born outside of it. Uh-huh. We had a two-story house. And the way it was kept warm was with tandoor, had in the middle of the lower floor to keep the whole house warm.
Wow. Now I was going to ask also, what kind of work did your father do?
My father was in the wholesale business of flour, sugar, and all different than rice. Peanuts and all that kind of stuff, because they used to import and export these foodstuffs. You see.
So was that in the old city or new city?
That was just, to be honest with you, it was just outside one of the gates of the, what do you call it,
the old walled city?
Walled, that's right, the walled city. It was just outside of the walled city. They had their business there, the store and so forth. They had offices and so on. But he was in partnership with my Uncle Isaac, which was my father's brother, a fellow named Jack Surmani, and a Turkish gentleman, which was Alek Hasan. He said, this time there is a son who still lives in Turkey. Fantastic people.
Wow.
Very, very, very close.
Now, did he continue to live in Rhodes after the Italians?
Yes. So after the Italians came in, naturally, the Italians have always been very, very receptive to us, very nice to us, never had any problem whatsoever. In fact, the matter, they helped us in case there was any problem between us and the Turks or the Greeks and stuff like that. But the Italian was very, very friendly to us.
How about to the Turks?
The Turks, we are close, very close.
How about the Italians and the Turks? No problem?
No problem. They didn't have no problem because most of the Turks had the farming community and so forth. And the Greeks had the shipping. So that's the reason we have to learn the different languages to be able to communicate with the different people that lived in the island.
Now, Morrison, do you remember what kind of work your father's father did? Because
my grandfather, Rafael Capuya, was very, very gifted as far as mathematics and stuff are concerned. He was a money exchange, you know, as a little case, you know, with different type of coins, and they did the exchange. Uh-huh. Like a lot of tourists used to come in from Italy, France, or other places, they had to exchange their money into Italian money to be able to spend it in the city. But he used to be, I guess you call it Saraf, I think, is that what it is? Saraf. Saraf, that's what his Turkish name. Saraf, that's what it is. Because I remember at one time, and this may not be, but his knowledge of mathematics was so nice that the banks, which were ruled by Al-Hadefs, they had any problems with the books sometimes, you know. They used to call Rafael Capuya, would you please come? They used to bring him in, give him the books, put him in the room, and after a while he said, come on over here, I'll show you where you all made a mistake. Very knowledgeable, yes.
Well, now that was your grandfather.
My grandfather.
Was he alive when you were a boy?
He was alive when I left.
Now where did he?
He didn't die until way after I left Rhodes.
Wow.
He died in Rhodes.
Where did he do the, did he have a little shop?
He had a more or less an entrance of a store of a son-in-law of his, you see, Hakim Menashe, which married one of my aunts, one of the Rafael Capuya's daughter right now.
Okay.
And he had the, also it was in the import-export business. And he had the front door, right? That was the front door. He had the little glass case, just one that I was going to show you, but it's a glass case.
Uh-huh.
Glass at the top, glass on the side, where the money was inside.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'm back there. He had a beard.
Uh-huh.
And for a long time, he used to wear a fez.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Wow.
But even though the Italians were there, they never made any rules as far as wearing the fez is concerned. They let them use it whatever they wanted. Because actually, he was a Turkish subject.
So he was a money changer. And was that in the old city or new city?
In the old city.
In the old city?
That's right. That's inside of the old city.
So where the little shops are selling whatever they were selling, ropes and stuff?
That's right.
There would be...
They had banks, drugstores, you know what I mean, so forth. Small financial institutions and so forth. They used to. But that on the inside, that's what it was.
And so... He would be, how many money?
The only thing that I can remember, at least two, that's it.
Uh-huh.
That's the only ones that I remember.
Because the banks started to take over that
same
job.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So,
but when I left Rhodes in 1926, he was still operating.
Wow.
Still in good health.
Uh-huh.
Actually, what caused his death, he fell and ruptured one of his carotid arteries.
Uh-huh.
Killed him.
But
you have a picture of my grandmother, but we've been trying to find a picture of him. Even I talked with my family down in Rhodesia and Ralph's sister and so forth. And it seemed not to have a picture. I don't know why.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Now, that was your father's father. Now, your mother's father.
My mother's father was actually, I never... remember him. He died, I think, before I was born. And because the only one that I remember is that my grandmother, on my mother's side, remarried. My mother's father, real father, name was Moshe. That's where we get our name. See. And then after he died, and then my grandmother, on my mother's side, remarried, and she had three children. And of course, there was Danielle Russo, which was in Atlanta, and two other daughters. They had three children.
As a boy, did you ever travel to across the sea to Turkish mainland or the island of Kos? You just
never
stayed in the island?
Just stayed in Rhodes. Never had opportunity to go out of it because, we used to travel, across the island on a bicycle ride on Sundays, get a picnics and so forth.
Where would you go on?
Go to Lindos, primarily go to Lindos.
Uh-huh. And Trianda?
Trianda, that's right.
Uh-huh. Okay. You, as a boy, you said you went to the Col Grande with your
grandfather.
And did you ever go into the Col Shalom?
We have visited that. I don't know the reason why, but I remember visiting the Col Shalom. That's how I remember the columns,
mm-hmm.
the artistic work that was done in those columns.
What was that like?
Well, it was more or less it was real polished things, or very fancy. And most of the